For WAMC News, I'm Jim Lavoulis. The Northeast has already felt the impacts of the remnants of one hurricane this year during an Atlantic hurricane season that is the most active to date. Even this far north up the eastern seaboard, Isaias left thousands without power for days. I spoke with Jim Yeo, a scientist with the National Weather Service, about what's ahead as the season nears its peak.
Well, we predicted a very active hurricane season before it started. In fact, we've actually upgraded that prediction to be quite active. We're at this point predicting that by the time we reach the end of the hurricane season, we'll have 19 to 25 named storms, you know, kind of almost running out of alphabet there. Typically in a year, we might have, 12 named storms in a year. We've already had 11, and we have, that is for the Atlantic Basin, and we have, three more systems that, are possibly developing in the Atlantic now. So as we come into the peak season, our seasonal forecast is does seem to be bearing out.
And what is the reason for that uptick?
There's a number of factors that lead to, favorable conditions for the formation and development of tropical systems and hurricanes. Those include having a strong East African monsoon, which we have this year. We have above average water temperatures in the equatorial Atlantic basin, also in the Caribbean Sea and the Gulf of Mexico. And all those are, that warm water is one of the drivers for hurricanes. And the last thing is there's not very much wind shear over the Atlantic Ocean or that portion of the Atlantic Ocean where hurricanes form. Wind shear, kind of, you can think of it as like tends to cut hurricane development off, with the winds at different levels or blowing at different speeds or different directions. Well, there's not much of it, so it's kind of like a candle flame that's allowed to go up and reach its full extent, if you will. So all of those conditions are really ripe for for forming hurricanes this year.
And Jim, you mentioned the overall number of storms in a hurricane season. How many storm systems is NOAA typically tracking at one time, maybe in the height of the hurricane season?
Well, and again, that depends on how active a season it is. You tend to notice it when you start getting three storms or more at a time. As I say, right now we're not tracking any storms in the Atlantic Basin, but we do see three areas that could in time develop into tropical systems. So no calls for making preparations yet, but certainly for us, that's a lot to pay attention to.
Obviously, when it comes to hurricanes, we often think about the coastal areas, but increasingly it seems that, at least from a layman's perspective, interior portions of the country are being impacted. In the WAMC listening area here in New York, interior New England, Tropical Storm Isaias obviously swept through. How does the National Weather Service predict how the storm is going to behave once it reaches land and continues on a land-based path?
We make predictions that cover the oceans and coastal regions and the entire all land areas, of course, especially the United States itself. So those models don't stop when you get to the when you make landfall. Of course, we have observations of the conditions that the factors that feed into the hurricane around the globe, and especially looking from the west coast of Africa and up to the East Pacific, where, for example, we track the El Niño or the La Niña oscillation, because that also factors into how hurricanes grow. But you're right, we have seen hurricane systems or tropical storms that have carried inland with increasing strength. I know that Madison, Wisconsin, received some rain this year from a tropical system. Tropical storm Cristobal. That it was kind of the first time in recorded history. Certainly, Gulf storms, those in the Gulf of Mexico can often come up through the Mississippi embayment and affect regions well beyond the coast. You don't see them as hurricanes, obviously not with storm surge and with winds that heavy, but very often dropping far more rainfall than is commonly affected. And of course, that's one of the things that people tend to lose track of with hurricanes and tropical storms. We categorize hurricanes based on the wind speed, but a lot of the damage and the threat to lives and properties from these systems really comes from water rather than from wind. So in coastal regions, by water, I mean the storm surge and high surf, even far away from the center of the storm. It can be dangerous for people, in maritime occupations or simply at the beach. But also, after making landfall, the inland flooding is always a huge risk. And of course, that's something people have to remember. Even if you're not on the coast, you may well be impacted by the weather from a tropical system.
And I understand that NOAA has made some improvements to its satellites. What do those improvements allow the agency to do?
Well, we've been making improvements to satellites over a number of years. This didn't all just happen recently. But we do have a lot of modern satellite instruments that are helping us, particularly now in our global and hurricane forecasting. So we use satellites that can measure the sea surface temperature, because that's a driver of the energy source for tropical systems. We have imagers that are really sharp now, just like our digital cameras at home have gotten give us sharper pictures than they did 20 years ago. Well, the cameras that we use to track storm systems are much higher resolution, better quality than they used to be. So we see much finer detail. We have a better idea of the structure of the interior storms. We know more precisely where the low pressure center of that storm is. And that, of course, is one of the basic starting pieces of information you need to have for predicting the track of a hurricane. Let's see some other things we have. We have sensors, infrared and microwave sensors, a variety of those, which are able to make measurements of the temperature and moisture inside, even through the clouds, particularly with the microwaves, in the hurricane. And again, that we want to know how much energy is being transferred into the atmosphere from the we measure that through the temperature and through the and through that moisture that also has the potential for how much rainfall we had. Finally, in the last couple of years, a new sensor called the Global Lightning Mapper, and we can actually see lightning inside the structure of a hurricane. So we know where the severe weather is taking place inside the storm system. And I guess that's another means we have of telling, is this system likely to intensify, or is it going to devolve into something a little milder as time goes forward? So all those things together give us a really good set of tools to use in our forecast process.
Jim Yeo is with the National Weather Service, which is part of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Jim, thank you for your time and your expertise.
Well, thank you so much. You're very welcome.